Welcome to the Event Hustler Show. I'm Liz King Caruso, and I can't wait to dive into some of the hottest event industry topics in this resource for planners by planners. Let's jump in. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Event Hustler Show. I am always honored to be here with you guys, and thank you every time for making time for us. I know everyone is living very busy lives, and I'm just glad to be a part of it. This show is a great opportunity to kind of just chat with industry leaders and see what they're up to. And, you know, many times have sat through these coffee chats and thought afterwards, like, man, I wish more people were listening to that. Because when you talk to someone as awesome as our guest today, lots of stuff pops up and it's always a good conversation. So without further ado, I do want to introduce and welcome our guest today, Miguel Neves. Miguel, hello.
Hello, Liz. Nice to be here with you today. And hello to everybody listening.
Thank you so much for taking time to join us. I know you are off on vacation soon, so this is crunch time. Are you going anywhere fun?
I'm going to Lithuania, which is probably one of the more unusual holiday destinations. I have a friend who travels around the world and gets sort of assigned to very random places, and he's in Lithuania right now. And there's actually, I live in Denmark, and there's actually a ferry boat that you can catch from, not Denmark, from Germany, but it's only about an hour and a half drive. So it's a little bit of an unusual trip. We're going to drive for an hour and a half, and then we're going to get on a ferry that takes almost 24 hours. And then we'll be at our destination. And with two young kids, that seems like a relatively easy way to have an interesting holiday.
Yes, that's amazing. And are you staying like a few days, I would imagine, enough time to actually unplug? Or is this going to be like a working vacation?
A little bit of a mix. We're staying like 9 days or something like that, but I'm working 3 of those days. So, you know, you have to kind of make a few compromises, but I've got another holiday coming up later in the summer. So
nice.
I'm quite lucky like that. Yeah,
that's great. We just came back from a vacation ourselves. We were gone for, we ended up being gone for 7 days and we came home early. We were supposed to be gone for 10 and the weather was like not good. And we're like, might as well go home and get some stuff done. It was actually a nice balance. We got a little work done towards the end and a little, you know, time in. So that was nice. I'm glad you're taking some time off because I know you have had an incredibly busy few years. Obviously the whole industry, I guess, has had an incredibly busy few years, but I guess it's been, I just found out right before we went live that it's been over a year since you have been heading up the event manager blog.
Yep.
That's
now
crazy.
Skift Meetings, rebranded a couple of months ago. Yeah,
That's right. This stuff happens so fast and I see it and it kind of like flies past me and then I have to remember it. And it feels like it was yesterday that I saw these announcements.
I mean, I use the old name all the time and people internally do as well. And it's just, yeah, it's been a roller coaster. It's the first time I've been directly involved in kind of publishing and media. So it's still quite new to me, I have to be honest. And I learn new things every day and, you know, we make mistakes and we do good stuff. Hopefully, I think hopefully some of the people listening are reading some of the content we're putting out. And
of course,
I feel like we're getting into a nice rhythm and we're covering areas that need to be covered. Not all news is good. You know, we've heard a lot of kind of layoffs and things like that recently on the event tech side, which is always sad. And, you know, it really gives me no pleasure in covering those stories. But It's where we are, you know, as an industry. And I think it's important for us to acknowledge that and to, I don't know, kind of prepare ourselves and make the most of everything.
Yeah. And I want to come back to that. I want to ask you about what this transition has been like for you. I know you said being in the media side is new to you. You obviously are familiar with being on the ground at events and being literally on the ground in terms of the event side. And so to kind of, I wouldn't say flip, but to be on the media side is, I'm sure, a huge transition. What has that been like in terms of like getting up to speed with all of that and your perspective? Because I think what's valuable about that is your perspective that you're bringing with you into this role.
Well, first, you know, shout out to Julius for creating Event Manager Blog, later Event MB, and now Skift Meetings. You know, he did a great job, and you know, his passion for the industry comes through. And it was, you know, I was very lucky to be asked to kind of take over from him. And it's been, you know, a roller coaster. I think there's a lot of factors. The industry has changed so much and sort of now somewhat kind of reverted back, but also it's changing and we have to kind of figure that out. I think media has changed a lot as well. You know, the way we consume, the way we look at media has changed all the time. I mean, if you look at sort of the more macro level, you know, the political side of things, the way we kind of digest media and the way we look up to media has changed a lot. So even if it hadn't, I think it's all new for me and it's all a learning process. And because that's all those changes are happening at the same time, there's even more sort of change, you know, in all sorts of directions. So change is definitely the constant. I really like the role because it allows me to be impartial, you know, and I think that's one of the main roles of media is to cover things. We like to talk about something that's a bit new to me, which is like not being in the event industry, but covering the event industry. And it's, you know, it's a small detail. It's a small kind of way of looking at things, but I think it makes a big difference because if you can remove yourself a little bit from, you know, the associations you're connected to, from the companies that you like doing business with, and look at everything from a really objective way, then I think you can do the best job in terms of media. And so I've never kind of liked the idea, particularly when it comes to kind of event tech, of being associated with one brand or sort of like selling one thing. Yeah. And being in a media role, it really allows me to do that and be very objective. So I really enjoy that. You know, a part of it is also very exhausting. Like, you know, part of my job is to be on Twitter and LinkedIn and kind of tap into what's going on and ask questions and figure stuff out. And as I think a lot of listeners and I think you know as well, it can be very exhausting doing that. You know, I think we do that naturally, but when it becomes sort of like part of your official role, there's a sort of pressure to make sure you're capturing everything and you're sort of taking the temperature of the industry. So lots of learnings, lots of kind of new things for me. And every day is sort of a new challenge, but very exciting at the same time.
Yeah, that's so interesting. That perspective of kind of looking at the industry without being in it is, it's actually the opposite of what I would have thought. You know, I think your perspective as being someone who's like so heavily involved in the events industry, but it makes sense now that you're saying it, I guess, you know, it's why media is a little bit different than, you know, just blogging or having a personal opinion on what's happening in the industry. You're really trying to see the macro level. And there is obviously value to seeing our industry as it fits into other industries. I feel like a lot of times our industry is just, we're so focused on what we're doing. And it seems like it's either so great or so challenging. And we don't realize how that looks against other industries and like the rest of the world. There's a whole other world out there. That's got to be a challenge.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, this is one of the things that, that Skift, the parent company, is very kind of keen on, and having this real separation of kind of editorial and branded content. And that's something that I really enjoy and that we're really trying to bring into the now Skift Meetings side. And that's why I think this sort of separation is important, you know, to keep that objectiveness. And yeah, it's not something I would have ever thought about before. And I definitely consider myself as being part of the event industry. But at the same time, I think to do this role properly, I have to allow myself to sort of remove or, you know, to kind of like take a macro view on things.
Yeah, makes sense. So you're looking all the time on Twitter and LinkedIn, I know, is such a popular place for all this content and conversations. And obviously you're seeing other media producing things that I'm sure you get hit up all the time for things that people want you to cover. How do you and the team sift through all that and figure out what is the top stuff that you need to be covering? Because I'm sure you can't cover it all.
Yeah, it's funny, actually. I put a post out on LinkedIn a couple of months ago, kind of basically answering that question, but in a kind of constructive way. I wouldn't say I'm sort of drowning in press releases, but I get a lot of stuff that, and most of it doesn't make sense. You know, you get anything from, hey, we got this new client, to, hey, we're doing this new event over here. But then you get some really important stuff. And so I think each publication has to kind of draw its line and figure out what it's going to cover. And I kind of chose to be quite public about that. And I think that that's helpful. And a number, you know, there's a number of comments kind of saying, yeah, this is really helpful. And then, you know, thanks for sharing this. But essentially, we're kind of thinking about things from a more business perspective. So, you know, leadership changes at the top, I think, are important, depending on the size of the company. Anything that's kind of news, anything that's like factual about what people are really concerned about, what people are worried about, how laws are changing, anything like that, I think is always super important. Research is something we tend to cover. But you know, if you get a press release from a research report, you tend to get a press release with a lot of very colorful marketing language about how great the organization that created the data report is. Yeah. And you know, part of my job is to kind of remove all that and really figure out, hey, what is valuable about this data? What is it actually saying? And what's it saying that's new? So, you know, that's the kind of lens that I'm looking at anything that I'm seeing. And sometimes, you know, the most sort of small little comment on Twitter that generated a little bit of a conversation is enough to kind of build a story. And when you dig into it, there's a lot of stuff there. And sometimes the biggest press release with the biggest names says nothing to me. You know, I kind of read it and go,
sure,
great. You know, I read these press releases like, oh, such and such partnering with such and such. Like, what does that mean? I mean, they've always partnered. They've always done business together. Like, why yeah. is there a press release about company
Suddenly
X
it's
partnering
a big
with
thing.
Company Y? Yeah. Yeah. So you have to sort of, kind of cut through the noise and figure, okay, what, you know, every company wants publicity and every company wants us to write about them. And
sure.
We have to make that decision if that is enough, if there's enough interest of interesting content there to actually warrant a story.
Yeah. Now, you did talk earlier about the layoffs in the event tech industry, and obviously at Techsy Talk, we talk a lot about technology. What are your thoughts on all of this? I mean, it's sad to see in general. I think it's just never good, especially after the pandemic, having to watch our industry have more layoffs. But, you know, I'm sure it speaks to the priorities of our industry. And I wonder what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously sad. And, you know, you feel for the people that are losing their jobs. I think part of the industry, the in-person side, I think there's part of it that felt like that was happening, you know, on the flip side during the pandemic. So
sure.
They almost feel like this is a bit of revenge, like, ha, told you so, this wasn't going to last.
Exactly.
And I'm not really a fan of that kind of commentary. I think that's incredibly insensitive, but yeah. I can understand, you know, there was a lot of time during the pandemic where a lot of, you know, venues, especially in catering companies and people like that, just had no revenue streams. And then that's obviously incredibly stressful. So I can understand the feeling somewhat, but it's never, you know, never good to wish bad on anybody. In terms of sort of where it's going, it's interesting. You know, I'm actually writing something about that right now. And there's quite a few tech companies that are saying they're actually doing fine. And they're definitely doing better when compared to 2019, which I think is where we should kind of draw the line of comparison. You know, it's unfair to compare sure. now to like the peak of the pandemic, because these, you know, companies were getting these massive investments. They had lots of clients to service, so they had to employ people to do that, right? I think it's just how it works. And now, unfortunately, they don't have all those clients. And so it just doesn't make any sense anymore. So these jobs are going away. I have a feeling that if we look at it objectively, event tech in general is still in a better place than it was in 2019. It's just really hard to do that right now because we're sort of like coming down from this peak. So I think the dust needs to settle a little bit and we need to figure out, hey, what's actually happening? You know, is technology being used, you know, is better used? Is, you know, what is actually happening? And there's a lot of companies that are, especially the ones that didn't sort of start in virtual events, that are reporting pretty solid numbers and are pretty confident they're going to stick around. And you know, I think what may happen is some of the kind of ones that are heavily reliant on virtual may not make it or may have to sort of merge and kind of combine forces with other companies, because there is a need still for virtual events, especially that hybrid element. And a lot of events may not need to be in person. So there is definitely a need there. But it's definitely not as big of a need as it was a year ago. So we're kind of feeling the impact of that. And it's going to be really interesting to see where it's heading. And actually, just to give you a bit of a preview, what I'm actually focusing on in this story is where kind of event tech companies are focusing their marketing. Because if you kind of go onto lots of different event tech companies' websites, there's a lot of changes recently, and they're kind of focusing on different things. And some are talking about sustainability, how, you know, online events are way less wasteful and, you know, better for the environment. And others are looking at sort of this enterprise model where they become the sort of in-house communication tool, a little bit like what Zoom tries to do in many cases, or Slack or something like that. And there's a lot of kind of other ones. You know, some are invested in virtual and the video side. So they're kind of saying, hey, we've developed a really cool video studio. You should use this for your events because video is super important. And, you know, it's also valid. It just depends on what clients are looking for.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so interesting. And the marketing is definitely shifting, and that's an interesting angle to just look at. What is it that they're promoting, and what does that mean for how business is doing for them, but also what the industry is thinking about and wanting.
It's a busy marketplace right now. You know, there was this incredible need to find a virtual event platform, and now there isn't. So it's like, where's your niche, right? Where's your blue ocean? Where are you investing your marketing dollars? And yeah, it's interesting. The word hybrid seems to have sort of not disappeared from homepages, but it's usually not in the top copy. It's sort of like a couple of paragraphs lower. It doesn't feel like that's where people are kind of focusing on.
And to your point, you know, comparing this to 2019, I think it will take some time for, I think it's due time, but it will take some time for these companies to figure out what are their differentiating factors. You know, I feel like the last 2 years, every company, their websites, it's just like swap out the logo and everything else is pretty much exactly the same. And so an important thing for them to do, to figure out what are they standing for and what is the thing that separates them. And that will help drive the growth.
Absolutely. They need to find their bit, right? One of my favorite pastimes is to look at the Wayback Machine, you know, the Internet Archive, and just look
at... That's a good tool.
yeah. It's a shame it takes so long to load, but of course it's, you know, it's a free tool, so you can't ask for too much. But if you look at how the homepages of event tech companies have developed, you know, before the pandemic, through the pandemic, and now, it's fascinating that the sort of evolution, the language, the focus, it's really interesting.
That's so interesting. Now, in general, though, I know you guys cover a lot more than just technology, of course. If you were just looking at the industry from your vantage point and wanted to kind of highlight some of the biggest concerns that our industry is feeling right now, you know, one or two, it doesn't have to be a whole list, but what do you think the industry is most focused on right now, either as a concern or an area of growth, or, you know, something, where should we be focusing our attention in terms of learning new things and new skills to prevent some of the challenges that we're facing?
I think, I'll probably name two kind of slightly different ones. I think one is the risk management, contracting, kind of service level thing. I think a lot of planners that are focused on the in-person side are just experiencing really different service levels. Contracts are way more complex because everybody's trying to find a way to get insured against this or to prevent X. You know, I mean, we just released an article today about what do you do if your keynote speaker doesn't show up and kind of get stuck in the travel chaos that's happening at the moment. You know, it's not something it's something that could have happened before, but it's just so much more likely to happen at the moment. Yes. And you know, if you've got a big name speaker coming, what do you do? Those are small details. I think, you know, staff shortages, labor issues, political issues with destinations that are, you know, have made or by default have political choices that, you know, don't align with events. There's so many things to navigate there that it seems like the job of the planner keeps getting harder, and we keep kind of pressuring planners to be more designers and strategists and do all this cool stuff. But when you're kind of things that you have to do become more and more complex every day, it's hard to step aside and sort of take a bigger look at things. So I think there's huge challenges there that we're not going to solve overnight. And the whole profession of planning just keeps getting more technical and more kind of more barriers put in. So that's a big challenge.
Yeah, as if we needed anything else.
Exactly. And I think, you know, I think it's good to have empathy with planners and to kind of figure that out and help out wherever you can, you know, whenever you can simplify things.
Sure.
I think on the sort of more business level, more, you know, people actually putting on events, so event owners, if you will. I'm seeing this big trend of events trending about two-thirds of 2019 capacity. And my big question there is this enough? You know, are these events, and this is particularly for the larger sort of international events. You saw this with what do you call it, IBTM World, Mobile World Congress, South by Southwest. If you look at the numbers, they're all about 65% of 2019, IMEX America as well, and also IMEX in Frankfurt. And so my big question is this enough? You know, is this where we should be in terms of recovering and in terms of these events being, I guess the most important question is profitable and sort of sustainable as events? Or is there a sort of long-term kind of cap there, and we may need to rethink these events as a smaller kind of scale events and perhaps the hybrid thing, or you know, perhaps there's things around corporate travel policies and things like that that are just not going to go away, or even just people working and living remotely that don't necessarily travel as much, which is probably a good thing from a, you know, an ecology perspective. But that's a big question for me. Is that where we are meant to be, or where we sort of like, is that enough for recovery, or do we need to rethink that? And I think it's going to start to become clear towards the end of the year. If that number doesn't kind of like increase, then I think we need to reset our expectations and think about other ways of doing it.
Yeah, I think that that's, you know, everyone talks about the pendulum swinging and like it's all virtual and everyone's rushing back to in person. But I agree, we haven't really seen, you know, we're not seeing 100% of attendance or more. I mean, sometimes when people talk about that, it makes it sound like we're having more people in person than we ever had before. And, you know, at least with our client events, we're definitely not seeing that. And I think it's really critical for people to start thinking about hybrid. I mean, there were benefits of virtual that a lot of companies would like to ignore for now because it's more fun and maybe easier to go back to in person. But also, what does that in-person experience look like if you're going to have a slightly smaller audience? Is there things that you can do to raise ticket prices or to increase sponsor dollars even with a smaller audience? It's a move I think our industry should make anyway.
Absolutely. And I think it's a shame. I don't know if a few events maybe, but I don't know of many events that have figured out models that work if we are staying at a smaller audience. And I'm hopeful that that will spur some creativity and we'll see some events really kind of thrive in you know, a hybrid model or some sort of way of kind of saying, hey, look, it's not going to be as many people, but actually it's better for these reasons, and we're going to be able to deliver some really great you know, value for sponsors and people like that. So I'm hopeful that it spurs some good creativity.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know that you are heading off for vacation soon, have a ton to do. I appreciate you sharing some of these insights. Is there anything else before we close out this episode that's really important for the industry that we didn't get a chance to talk about today, or anything that you're, I know every person kind of has their personal mission. Like, I want to be talking about this as much as possible. Is there anything that you want to bring up on your side?
I'd probably say the strategy side. You know, I mentioned earlier that planning is harder, and there's so much stress and there's so much you know, uncertainty that planners have to deal with. At the same time, I would, you know, I love going to an event that I can feel is designed really uniquely and tries something different and takes some chances, and I hope that we don't lose that in the middle of all this rush. You know, and that ranges from, you know, going to an event that's completely turned upside down and you don't know what to expect, which is great, but you know, it also has its limitations. You can't do that with everything. To you know, showing up at an event. You know, I'm very big on this idea of event technology becoming invisible. You know, and things like, you know, I don't want to download an app. I want to get an SMS with my QR code sent to me, like, moments before I get to the registration desk and just literally breeze into an event. That's how I think event technology wins, right? It's not by sort of like forcing people to do something that they don't necessarily want to do. So I feel like getting those things right and elevating that experience, that's where we're going to make people feel really comfortable and welcome and kind of, you know, make the gathering really worth it for them. And so as much as we're getting, you know, bombarded with logistical nightmares, hopefully we can still be creative and create gathering experiences that are new and refreshing. So I'm looking out for those, and I'd love to talk to anybody who has ideas and particularly those who actually put those in place, because a lot of people have a lot of ideas, but then when you actually try them out, sometimes they don't work, and there's, you know, reasons why they don't work. So I like to see them sort of, you know, what works, and hopefully we can learn from each other and kind of elevate the meeting experience, whatever we're designing for.
Absolutely. That creativity is, I think, what our industry thrives on, but sometimes we, for good reason, get caught up in the contracts and the risk management plans and all that. And, you know, it seems like getting back to that would help our whole industry in many ways. So
absolutely. And, you know, if there is another, you know, it's very likely to be a recession or at least an economic downturn at the moment, you know, and budgets are going to be questioned. And the more we can make a case for why it's really important to have an event, the more we can protect the industry. And yes, getting contracts right and signing things the right way will help that. But ultimately, you know, that's sort of like allaying the fears. That's like making sure that people are feeling safe, but you need to also work on the part that excites people, or else there's not really a kind of like a strong motivation to invest in events. And,
absolutely.
I'm hoping that we can do that.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. That was a great way to end this episode, just thinking about the creativity that our industry thrives off of and bringing that back in a way that's meaningful to our attendees and being able to deliver experiences that will prove that ROI. That's something I feel like our industry always fights. But as you said, especially with another recession coming, we're going to keep fighting that fight for sure. Thank you for sharing all your insights. And if people want to contact you, let's say they're working on an amazing event that they just finished, pulling off some new exciting things they want to share with you. I know you don't want to be bombarded, but what are the best ways for people to connect with you personally and also with Skift Meetings?
Absolutely. I'm happy to be bombarded, and I'm very honest with people. If I'm saying, look, this isn't a story for us, I'll say that right away. Sure. You can find me on LinkedIn or Twitter. I'm Miguel7. Just my last name spelled backwards on Twitter, Miguel Nevsch on LinkedIn. And my email is mn@skift.com. Feel free to contact me through there. Happy to get press releases, but I'm particularly interested in stories and case studies and, you know, kind of reports from the field. I think a lot of planners have a lot of really interesting stories to tell. And even if they're not writers, a quick call, a quick interview can lead to a really interesting perspective on something that I think can help other people. So don't be shy.
Awesome. Well, enjoy your vacation. I hope you get some very nice time off with those two cute, adorable children who happen to be like almost the exact same ages as my children. It's nice watching your adventures on Facebook. And thank you again for your time.
Thanks, Liz. Always a pleasure.
All right, folks, we will see you for another episode of the Event Hustler Show next week. Thank you for joining us. And until we see you again, hustle hard.